For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
We're going to start with our buddy Steve Wyche because, again, Mike, this is draft week, and nothing tops NFL draft week. It's the most exciting week of the year for me because teams change. You draft the right guy, whether it be a quarterback or an edge rusher, Mike, right, and your franchise changes.
And everybody has a strategy. Everybody thinks they know what their team needs, and they think, now, in our case, we need some defense. Don't have all the picks. How are we going to play it? We never, ever move down. We'll ask Steve Wyche about that in just a bit, but I would love to see us do it. Everybody loves to be that, you know, whether you're playing Madden, Carl, in the general manager mode, everybody thinks they could do this, and it's kind of fun for everybody to watch over the weekend.
No doubt. So all of that is on the way. We will get into this decision by the Hawks, which is front and center. It happened just a few hours ago, and I think a lot of people were taken aback by it. They were taken off guard, and rightfully so. If you look at what happened this year with Jalen Johnson getting injured, some people would tell you that Landry Fields, it felt like he did a fairly good job under the considering, you know, under the factors that he was put under. But, Mike, this is about the big picture, and we're going to dive into this because now the Hawks, who I think this is their big – I'm not – this is not hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
This is their biggest offseason in a very long time. And the reason is because you have a major decision to make on Trey. And whether you decide to pay him long-term or not and give him a supermax deal, Mike, which potentially he could be up for if he ends up being NBA All-Pro or NBA All-First Team or second or third team, I think this is the major decision that's in front of them. On top of that, Mike, you said it. I think you tweeted it out. It feels like we're spinning our wheels.
Yeah, it just feels like we're up on blocks or spinning your wheels, whatever metaphor you want to use. We're just not doing anything. And just real quick, since he took over stewardship as general manager from Travis Schlenk, we were 41-41 in 22-23. Since then, we've seen the Pacers, the Magic, and now the Pistons all leapfrog us. So these are all teams that were in almost similar situations. We had the benefit of having a star in Trae Young.
Correct.
And those guys did not. And they all drafted well, and they've augmented it with free agency. And they've got a, like, they're just as young as we were. And unfortunately, they're doing better than we are. So I just feel like we are in this rut. They've got to do something big.
I think the good news, and we'll get into this a little bit later on, Dyson Daniels, we've been saying it all year. I was touting him on FanDuel Sports Network about being the Defensive Player of the Year and the Most Improved Player. He is up for both of those awards. I don't know if he'll win both, but the fact that he is a finalist is great. And Zachary Richache is up also for Rookie of the Year. That news came out yesterday. But the news front and center is that the Hawks front office is about to change. And as it does, Mike, these decisions that however they're going to move forward is going to, you know, certainly shape our team and hopefully move us in the right direction. The problem is we just haven't. We just haven't done that. And you know, for everybody that wants to talk about Trey, and I'll say this, Mike, and again, we're waiting on Steve Wyche. Okay, he's ready. We'll get back to this because Steve has got limited time, guys. You want to talk to him draft week. Steve Wyche from NFL Network joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steve, as always, brother, good to have you on. I want to start with what Adam Schefter was reporting, and that is that the Falcons are looking, obviously, for a trade partner for Kirk Cousins, but they also want that trade partner to pay at least $20 million of the remaining contract that's left for Kirk Cousins. Is that possible? Do you think there's a partner out there for this to happen potentially this week?
I think there's a partner. I don't think that partner is going to pay $20 million of it. But, you know, it depends on who the partner is, too, and what they have kind of on their salary cap space and their allotment. I mean, I think right now you're looking at two teams, and that's Cleveland and that's Pittsburgh, who could probably do this. They may want to wait until after the draft before they make that type of commitment. But as I said on the show weeks ago, I think there's going to be a trade market for Kirk Cousins. Now it just depends on how much they're willing to pay of Kirk's contract. And I think when push comes to shove, if they can get back a team that pays $10 million of it, which is that $10 million bonus they got, then it's a wash and a win.
I know everybody is sick and tired of this Aaron Rodgers watch, Steve, but, I mean, it does kind of keep us in limbo like a bunch of other teams because he is tied to the Steelers. Do you think he's going to sit it out and wait for someone to get injured and come to the rescue? What do you think the plan is here with Rodgers?
Man, who knows with him? I mean, I think because retirement is a legitimate option for him, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be in Pittsburgh. Maybe he doesn't want to be in Cleveland. Maybe he does wait, but the teams don't want to wait on him anymore. I mean, when he came out and kind of said some of the things he said last week on Pat McAfee's show, you just kind of have to wonder how all in is he? And he brought that up. How all in can I be? How, you know, that's part of it. And look, I know Aaron. I think that's only fair of him to put out there for the team and for himself. And if there's any doubt, Steelers have met with him. You know, some of these teams have met with him. If there's any doubt, then they've got to do what they've got to do. And that's where I think the Kirk Cousins trade comes into play, and I think that's also where the draft comes into play.
It is all about the draft, guys, as we're counting down. Steve Weiss with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So is Shador going to be a first-round pick, or is this or is this all just misdirection and misinformation? Look, I think the kid's got the skill set. I think he's got the tools and talent, Steve, but everything I'm seeing now is like, well, he may not be a first-rounder. How?
It depends on the team you talk to. I mean, some teams don't love him. Some teams like him a lot. You know, is that enough? And it depends on your circumstance. Again, we come back to Cleveland, which has a second pick. They're not taking him there. I think they're going to take Travis Hunter from everything I'm hearing, from some of the indications I've gotten. You know, we know Abdul Carter is a possibility. But could they use their high second-round pick to trade back into the first round to get him if he falls that far? Does Pittsburgh take him at that spot, especially after what they just went through with Kenny Pickett, you know, with the same type of draft, same type of situation, taking him, I think, at like 21, and that didn't work out. Now, can they afford to do that? So, you know, with Shador, you know, look, I was at Colorado's Pro Day. I spoke with Deion. Deion isn't really that big on Shador going top three, top five, whatever. He wants his son to go to the best situation where he's got a chance to succeed with his skill set, to be in a building that's got some good, solid foundation and some good coaching. And he just wants a chance, you know, this is Deion speaking, for Shador to go to the right type of environment. What that is, we'll see. But I know that Shador and Deion want him to play as soon as possible.
It does seem like the Giants really have kicked the tires on him more than anybody, but then who knows what that franchise is going to do. Steve Weiss is with us on the waitforit.com hotline. Do you expect some big surprise move? I've seen a lot of stuff written about a lot of guys. Remember how devalued the running back market was, Steve? Now, guys, everybody wants to get up there and get Ashton Jeanty.
Well, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? For several reasons. One, he's a damn good player, right? And if your team's got an offensive line and maybe a limited quarterback where the run game helps, like a Las Vegas Raiders, you know, yeah, you take them because the money on a rookie deal, if that's all you're going to get out of them and you don't, you know, and you can franchise them two or three times, that's what I think. The money is good for a young running back, you know, for him to get paid and for the team to make, you know, for the team in terms of salary cap management. So I think Ashton Jeanty's a guy. There's a couple other players. You know, some people like the guy out of University of North Carolina. Some people like both running backs out of Ohio State. The one thing is this is an incredibly deep running back draft. Like, you're going to see, you know, a lot of running backs you get picked up in the sixth and seventh round end up making, you know, an impact. Like, you know, the running back last year out of Tampa Bay. So, but Jeanty is clearly – everyone deems him as the special one. You know, he's someone who's probably not getting past, you know, the top six or seven teams.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina, and then Trayvon right. Henderson is the running back out of Ohio State. The Ohio State. But they've got two. I mean, I think it's Judkins right. as well, that are top five or six running backs in this draft. So no doubt, if you are looking for a running back, you can find one. And certainly, you know, at the top of this draft, they're going to be available. Even, I think, in the middle rounds. With that said, let's talk about the edge rushers, because that's somewhere where the Falcons have been talking about, you know, and getting. Steve, we haven't had a guy that has gotten over seven sacks in 5 years. So, you know, you're talking about a position of need, and then this edge rush class, whether you think Abdul Carter is going to be the next great thing or not, I think it's deep enough where you could find a couple of guys if the Falcons are committed to going there. Do you think that's where they want to go in this draft?
I have been wrong on this for like 10 years because I've been screaming. You guys have heard me say on the show, they haven't had a consistent edge rusher since John Abraham, right? Since him and Patrick Kearney.
Yep.
And, you know, you talk about, I forget the young man's name.
Arnold
but he was a flash in the pan. He was a 1 year, 15 sack guy.
You're talking about the kid out of Clemson.
Correct. And they haven't had anybody since that. So, yes. Do they need one? Yes. Should they draft one? Yes. Will they draft one? Man, your guess is as good as mine. But, you know, you're talking about some key edge rushers, a young man out of Marshall. There's so many good players. And, again, knowing Raheem Morris and how he can scheme. I mean, look what he did with Byron Young when he was a rookie, a third-round draft pick out of Tennessee. So, and he's turned into a fantastic pass rusher, you know, for the Rams. So, yes. I think they should draft an edge rusher. Should they draft an edge rusher? We're all going to scream. Let's fire up the choir, Reverend Speak. Right. Draft an edge rusher, right? But will they? Yeah, man. You know.
Well, we're also Stephen.
They know what they want, and right. we'll see.
Steve, we're also in a situation where we don't have the full complement of picks. You know, we traded last year for Matthew Judon. That obviously didn't pan out. So we don't have a third rounder. Cousins cost us a fifth rounder for being in the legal tampering zone when he spoke with the Falcons. So any chance? I mean, yes, it takes two to tango, but we never historically have ever traded down. So it might be the right year to do it.
It might be. But again, if that edge rusher, which very well could be there, staring right at you, you do it. You could trade down. Again, this is where the Kirk Cousins things deal could come into play. You know, it takes two to tango. Maybe some team wants to come up and get a player that they want more than you do. Then you do it. But, you know, look, we can sit there and talk about the quantity of picks and doing that. But that quality players, there have been teams who've done great with five draft picks and nailed it.
Yep.
Do that. Be good. Your team's not that far off. You got a stud young quarterback. You can sit there and talk about, yeah, I got value out of this guy in the fourth round. Well, you know what? If you passed up on somebody in the first or second who could have made the swing vote difference to you win the division, then that doesn't mean anything to me. Get the guy who's going to help your team get out of, you know, the mediocrity, the constant, well, we're a year away. Get out of that. Get a difference maker. You know, like they've got a quarterback in Penix. You get somebody like that who can change your team, and then you can pound your chest.
Last thing for me, Steve, speaking of what you just said, how much pressure does that put on Terry Fontenot to get this right?
I think he's under a ton of pressure. You know, he was figuring it out with Arthur Smith the first go-round, but he's had a chance now to go to a second head coach, to go through some coordinator changes. I think it's huge on him to get it right because he's gotten it right at some spots. But – you know, they're still in the same place. You know, they're still in kind of that 7-10, you know, Atlanta Hawks purgatory.
Yep.
Let's graduate a level, and then you can say, okay, you know, now I feel good about things.
I know that there's got to be a sense of urgency for Arthur Blank. I mean, I know he had maybe said it publicly. We did know that he did address to his general manager and coach how disappointed he was, Steve. But, I mean, you know, this will be five seasons without a trip to the playoffs, so someone's going to get fired.
Yeah. I mean, someone has to. It's, you know, look, a lot of the stuff that can't be put on Terry Fontenot because of the push to make the move to get Kirk Cousins. You know, that's not made in a vacuum. You know, because they broke from their initial plan and made a run at Deshaun Watson, which they didn't get.
Right.
But the fact that they entertained it really seemed to kind of break a pattern. So a lot of that's not on the GM. Okay, he's part of it, but he's not necessarily the reason for it. But yeah, they're on this hamster wheel. They're on this treadmill. They've got to break out of that cycle. And again, you hit in the draft. You coach guys up. You made the change at defensive coordinator. Get it right. Get it right. And take a step that so many other teams seem to manage to make.
That's how we felt. That's how we've been feeling. We'll say it again. Get it right. Steve Weiss, you get it right, man. We appreciate you all the time. NFL Network, watch all the coverage, guys. And thanks so much for the time, Steve.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Thank you, guys.
All right.